Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for coming back for another episode of the Ben Warman Podcast. I appreciate being here and hope you're having a wonderful day today. We have a little bit of a different type of episode, as we like to do here sometimes, mix it up. I've always been a big fan of Twitter Spaces, and for those who don't know what that is, it's basically this function you can do on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, where people can spin up this room where folks can just talk. And you have this really cool dynamic where there's a host and a speaker and a whole audience of infinite people can join. So I did one of these recently, and it was with a group of friends who invited me over to talk about Noster. And this is a group who is always facing tons of censorship, so I was really excited to chat with them about what I think is the best solution to censorship. If you've been watching the podcast for a while, you know since my episode with Derek Ross way back in the day, still recommend that one to everyone, Noster 101. This is just a huge technology. I never thought I'd say it, but I really think Noster is equally important as Bitcoin as a solution to all these problems we face in the world. It gives free speech back to the people. So one quick note before we start here is in the first hour, I realized listening back on this that the host referred to me as Primal, and that's because I had my name on Twitter for a while was my Primal URL, the Twitter or the Noster client. It was primal.net/Ben. So when you hear Primal, he's talking to me. And I don't think there's anything else I have to say. It was a really, really cool time. Great chat with these folks. And I think around 4,000 people ended up joining. So very cool experience to be able to put my educator hat on and try to help people out, learn about Noster. I hope I did a good job. If I didn't, please let me know. I'm always open to feedback and love to hear that. So enjoy and learn about Noster. Let's go.
Well, hey, everybody, and excited for what should be a very unique conversation here. It's going to be taking a topic that we often run with on the absurdity of concentration of power, the centralization of authority, the censorship that we are all aware of, but approaching it from a different lens, which is going to be one aimed at trying to understand, you know, not just the challenges of the present, but also what could be some of the solutions of the future. And so to be kind of in line with that, we're going to have Ben Remen speaking with us here. I think he had a little bit of issues with the space. So hopefully the co-host, let me send that to him right now. Hopefully that works.
What's up?
There we go. All right. Working successfully for you there.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for the co-host invite, but the speaker one finally worked. I had the worst luck with spaces, I swear. It's always glitchy.
Yeah, no, they certainly they can act up. And, you know, we see lots of issues with bot attacks, especially in some of the spaces that I do with folks like Suleiman, Khaleesi, the ones that I've been doing with Truth Teller from time to time. You know, you talk about certain issues and you upset too many folks and then the bots come flooding in. So this should be an interesting one, though, because look, and what I like about this is I was in a space the other day and somebody was saying, hey, there's a whole lot of commenting on the woes of today, but what are we supposed to do to make a better tomorrow? And I mean, I think this could prospectively be an advocacy for one. This could be a solution that we could push for, that we can champion, that we can potentially even have some individuals that leave this space tactically knowing not only the benefits of, but also how they would go about participating in this next generation of social media. And so, you know, understanding that we're going to have a whole bunch more folks kind of flooding in here as we go through this. But first and foremost, you know, obviously one of the most important things for us to do is to make sure that everybody's aware of our speakers. In this case, Primal, I certainly want to make sure that you get to offer up not only a bio on yourself, and of course, don't share anything that you don't feel comfortable sharing. No need to dox, you know, your persona, but rather just kind of speak through your areas of interest, how maybe you've kind of gone through this process of utilizing current social media, ultimately landing on, hey, there's a need for something in the future. And then what we could do is to kind of flip that on its head and start to understand. And maybe what we'll do is to discuss kind of the status quo first and foremost. We get your thoughts on what has happened in social media with primarily Facebook, Google, YouTube. We can talk a little bit about what is with X, some of the censorship that we're now seeing here. Maybe touch upon Zuckerberg and his recent reverse course, maybe on censorship. And then after going through those, that will obviously lead very nicely into the why we need something different. And then we can go into Noster. And so maybe first and foremost, just to kind of introduce yourself to the audience and those that might not be familiar with your account. Do you want to give a brief introduction on yourself? Maybe, you know, your background, whether it's technical in nature, you know, or political, maybe the things again that you find interest in.
For sure, man. Well, thank you so much for making this happen. I've definitely spent the last probably 2 or 3 weeks just deciding I'm going to turn my X account into a full-time Noster shilling hub, because I just think that this solves all the problems that we're seeing now, and so many like people like you are seeing as well, where certain groups of people are just completely being stonewalled for being able to have free speech. And Elon is basically showing his cards now. And you mentioned how Mark Zuckerberg is talking about how, oh, like we're going to be totally free speech now, we promise. And we're also going to keep selling your data. I don't buy it at all. We keep seeing, I mean, how are people really getting excited about that when we just heard Elon say that right before he got Twitter? And all of a sudden, what do you know, he's cutting people's speech off. So I just don't think that it's ever going to be a good model when you have a centralized platform where all of the information runs through, all the content runs through, and that's a honeypot for anyone that wants to throw money at it and, you know, exert power over what other people can say. And so just to give a little bit of background on me, I should start with, I am a podcaster, so I am definitely a generalist by nature. I talk to the smart people and let them be the person that does the real talking. I just pinned up in a nest a video with a guy named Derek Ross, who is an excellent Noster advocate. He's super smart, super technical. He understands it super well. And that was about a year ago I did that. And that conversation alone just got me thinking like, wow, this is actually going to change the world, because I came from the Bitcoin world where I thought that this was, you know, this is everything. Bitcoin is the fixer of all. It fixes the money. It removes the fiat system where there's a money printer in charge and the governments just are allowed to run ruckus on their citizenry without any restriction. I didn't think I'd ever be as excited about anything else. And now I firmly believe that Bitcoin and Noster together are in that top tier of just mind-blowing paradigm shifts of how we completely changes the way that humans transact with each other. And first it was the money, and now it's speech and communication. Both things that should be completely foundational and protocol level rather than platform level, which is one of the ways I like to basically lay it out for people, is right now we are running on centralized platforms. Like X is a platform, Instagram is a platform, TikTok is a platform, where everything runs through a centralized pipe and things can get cut off, and things will get cut off because there's financial motivation there. There's shareholders and it's a company. And when you switch to a protocol like email, for example, there's no CEO of email. There's no company that runs email. There's different clients that plug into email, like Gmail, ProtonMail, Outlook, etc. It's a much better model that way, where everyone is free to use this protocol, but different clients can, you know, have their own companies on top of it. So that's basically what I'm super excited about. And we can go deeper into like what Nostr actually is, how it works, if you want to. We could take the same direction you like, but excited to be here.
Well, I certainly appreciate you making the time. And I think perhaps, you know, before we just immediately dive into Nostr, to get your thoughts a little bit more on the social media of the present, I'm kind of curious, you know, if you could just extrapolate both based on historical and current trends, where you think X, Facebook, Google, et cetera, where are those going to likely be in a year or two without some kind of alternative of competition like Nostr? I mean, how do you think those are going to be used by the system that is currently in power? What is your kind of either dystopian or maybe hopeful or optimistic outlook on where they're all going to land in a year or two?
That's a really good question. The way that I would sort of answer that is that we have a few different paths here. I think that if we were on the current path and there was no Nostr, if it was just continued to be this model where there are a handful of big tech companies running these centralized silos like X, Instagram, Twitter, or X, Instagram, TikTok, stuff like that, we'd continue to have these problems over and over and over, where people get mad about not having free speech and being censored and, you know, just being unsure of what the rules are, because they're constantly changing as different CEOs come through, different shareholders, different, you know, outside forces throw money at it. So it's just going to be a constant battle of people not knowing what they're able to do, what they're able to say. And a lot of times people saying the most important stuff, speaking truth to power, is social media has the power to do. Those are the people that will be chopped off, because, you know, the bad guys, quote unquote, will always find ways to sink their tentacles into those shareholder rooms and the board meetings and change the way that the algorithm is set up. And I'm sure you've seen all the recent posts of just like people testing Grok and the AI here on Twitter to see, you know, what it says when you feed certain things. And it's very clear that there's a strong bias, and there are certain links and things that you can't even post on here, and certain posts that just get completely stonewalled, which is a problem. You know, it should be completely open. And then looking at the other side, what the potential future is, I see it as where Nostr is this protocol level social media. All of these platforms that we look at right now, like Twitter and Instagram, they will become clients for Nostr. Similarly, has how I used the analogy of email earlier, how email itself is a protocol, and the clients on top of that are like Gmail, Outlook, ProtonMail. Nostr is the same thing. It has a protocol level communication layer, and on top of it would be clients similar to Twitter and Instagram. And we already see that right now, despite it being so early. Most of the clients out there, an example is like Primal, for example. Most of them are sort of like Twitter clones right now. It feels like Twitter. It's like a clunky version of Twitter, because these are very new and rough around the edges. But there's just recently, in the last couple of weeks, things are moving really quickly. A client called Olas was made, which is essentially an Instagram clone. This is the first real Instagram Nostr client. And so when people log into that, they see an Instagram feed that looks like they're on Instagram. And so I think the future, now that Nostr has entered the game, this is definitely the bullish case, but I think that it's completely possible, is that in the 5, 10, 15 years out from now, people are going to realize, why am I even spending all my time on a centralized platform like Twitter, where I can have my speech taken away and I can't get paid easily? There's no like good content monetization model, because on here you have to, you know, follow all these rules perfectly to be able to make money. And there's, it's really shadowy. You don't really know how it works. And myself personally, I even checked off every single one of the boxes on the monetization. I got my 5 million impressions in a month or 3 months or whatever it was. And, you know, I hit every single one of the boxes, but it still didn't work for me. I still have a post back somewhere where I took all the screenshot receipts, but I literally fulfilled everything and just didn't get it. It just never came through. So on Noster, Bitcoin is native to it. So people can zap Bitcoin to each other instantly on their posts. There's a little lightning button there. So all clients have that. So it just makes it so this value for value model works really well. But I got a little bit off topic there, I guess. I think that the main answer to your question is just that I see a future where X eventually is forced to become a client of Noster. And it is no longer this platform all on its own. They're going to be forced to adopt that model where they are not the entire silo anymore of this social media, but they are instead a client on top of a protocol, which is Noster. So they will no longer be able to make all the rules that they do now. And they can try to put up, try to not do it and just get disrupted. That could happen too. But I think that that is my case for what's going to happen in 5 to 15 years. And that's my prediction.
Well, and we're certainly going to have to go into this concept of the layer. And prior to this, I wanted to try and do a little bit of homework to understand some of the basics of Noster. I certainly looked into it. And just from a cursory glance, what I would love to do is to have you really unpack first and foremost that operating kind of arrangement that you just described, to kind of just peel that back for anybody that's not familiar with Noster so that we can give them a very clear understanding of the benefits of the way that this is being built, where essentially, you know, I guess at 50,000 feet, it's almost like Noster as the cryptographic framework serves as kind of the cake, and all of these visualization engines that you're talking about essentially serve as the icing on top of it, right? It's just the visualization, the way that you see
exactly.
So I think it'd be really nice if you could kind of give perhaps, you know, a better or more elaborate take on the visualization that I just offered, but to then also maybe provide a little bit on the technicality of how is that working? Why is that system essentially impervious, et cetera? And we don't have to go all the way into the coding, right? But maybe a slightly more technical, explanation. And then I would love to learn a little bit about what those visualization engines, you mentioned the one for Instagram, the one that looks like Twitter, perhaps, how those work. And then what we could do from there is maybe get into the how would an individual access this if they wanted to try and get onto this network, start to utilize it, et cetera, so that not only are we giving people a picture of the pros and cons, a visualization of the landscape that they would be walking into, but then also a tactical, how do I get all of this in motion? And that way, when people are leaving this space, whether it's an hour or two from now, they have some real tangible takeaways. So we'd love it if you could kind of explain with maybe the layman's terms, kind of how this is working, and then we'll get into the technicals of how, you know, the cryptographic network is basically being built with relays in the background.
Yeah, totally. So I'm glad you want layman's terms, because that is what I specialize in. I am definitely not ultra technical. So I think that that is why, you know, it's good for this audience who probably isn't looking for super technical right now. Basically, by the way, I just put up in a nest as well a ready to get started on Noster post, which is just a few memes that kind of visualize what I just talked about. It puts in more of a visual form for my fellow visual learners out there. It kind of lays it out better. And also it just has a step-by-step, here's how you get started right now. And just to touch on that while I'm still on that point, essentially all you have to do is log into any, we'll pull up any of these clients, the main clients, and the one that I usually recommend is called Primal. So if you go to the Primal app, you can just type in Primal Noster on your Play Store or the iPhone Store, wherever you know your app store is, and you'll essentially just create an account through there. And all of these different clients allow you to create an account, and so you'd basically do that. It takes like 15 minutes to fill out your profile, and you can activate your Bitcoin wallet right there. It's built into Primal. So it's super easy to do. And I help my friends through this all the time, 15 minutes total. They have an account, they have their Bitcoin wallet set up, which is a fully functioning Bitcoin wallet too, by the way, which is awesome. That's, one of the cool features of Primal is that you now have a Bitcoin wallet if you never did. So you can send and receive Bitcoin. And you can use it literally, if nothing else, you can just use this as a Venmo replacement that uses Bitcoin instead. But going back to just the walking through the visualization of how this actually functions as a system, like you mentioned. So I use the email analogy. It's protocol. You have email, you have these different clients on top of it, like Gmail and Outlook. I continue to repeat that because I think that's a good way to think of it. So the two main terminology things here to remember is clients and relays. So I just mentioned clients. A client is basically the application you use to access the data. Relay is just a fancy word for server. So let's use Twitter as an example, or X. I just interchanged those words. Forgive me. Twitter has a single server where all the data goes through, all the people's posts go through, and it has a single client as well. There's only one app you use to access Twitter. So what Nostr does is it decentralizes both of those pieces. So you have a whole ecosystem of different clients, these apps you can use to scroll through the feed and, you know, see the content. The relays, the fancy word for servers, is also decentralized out, so anyone can run their own. And that's a game changer because, you know, there's a bunch of them out there right now. I believe it's in the hundreds. So when you log in to one of these clients, they have their default set of like 15 relays you get just auto connected to. So the relays are the things that have the power to censor people if they wanted to. But since you connect to multiple of them, it's more of a free market in the sense that they don't want to be the censoring relay, or else people will just leave their relay. And even if every single one of these relays decides to censor your post so they don't show up in the Nostr ecosystem, you can just start your own. And people who want to follow you still and see your content, they can connect to your personal relay. They just have to type in your relay little address in their client. So I hope that makes sense. It's a kind of a lot of things together, but essentially, just to wrap that up and summarize, you have the clients, which is the application you use to access the data, and you have the relays, which are the servers that the data goes through, just basically just taking in the content and pushing it out to people's feeds. Both of those are decentralized out, where the clients, anyone can build their own client. There's a whole market of them out there. There's a bunch of really good ones already. And the relays, which are just servers, there's tons and tons of those as well. And you can pick whichever ones you want. They are incentivized to not censor because they don't want to be, you know, seen censoring people. So they, like, there's been no censorship I've seen so far. And even if you are censored from every single relay out there, you can start your own relay in your office, and people who want to follow you can just connect to your relay. So it's effectively impossible to ban and censor. It's beautiful that way. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and look, I think something that's really critical for us to elaborate on, right, is that this network, let me ask you, is network the right term to describe Nostr, or is it a protocol?
Yeah, both of those are totally fine. The only word, if you're really being a stickler about the terminology, is it's not a platform. But yeah, it's a social network protocol. But yeah, I just go with protocol.
Okay, wonderful. So, and on this protocol, it's worth noting that what you are advocating for, Primal is then the icing, if you will, on top of the Nostr network, right? It's a way
exactly.
To visualize. Okay. And so just out of curiosity, is Primal then something that you are specifically, like, do you have any ownership of, stake in the game of? Is it a product that you have been helping to develop, et cetera, or it's something that you're merely a fan of? I just want to make sure I delineate.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have no affiliation with any of these clients of any kind. And they are, so these are basically like app developers and like small, like startup companies that are building these things. So they have little teams of developers that are developing this client, and each of them is different. And so I can slightly expand out on my explanation earlier now, because just after that groundwork is laid. So for people who are on iPhone listening, after you set up on Primal, which is like the recommended one I have people start with because I think it's the best and the clearest so far. The second one that people on iPhone can download is called Damus, D-A-M-U-S. That's another really popular one. And so then you can log in with a private key that you created by creating your account, and you will see a feed on both of them that is identical. It's just a little bit different UX because these are different apps, you see. So it as soon as you see someone like log into two different apps and they see the same feed, it's kind of like a mind-blowing moment. Like, oh, wow, like this is cool. You know, there's no central point of failure on the client side or the relay side. it's a free market of all these different startup, you know, app companies basically building cool apps on here with different experiences and different visualization. And you get to choose which one you like best. And some of them have different features. Like I mentioned, Primal has the built-in Bitcoin Lightning wallet, which is, I think, is super cool. Domus doesn't have that yet. They said they're getting it in the future, but they don't have it yet. And however, Domus is a little bit faster and smoother UX on the screen. Like they've just put their focus on that for now. So you're seeing these different apps sort of competing to have the best user experience in real time. It is super cool because it's brand new, this thing is. So it's really exciting to watch.
Well, and that's why I wanted to delineate your involvement from it, right? Because I feel like a lot of individuals, initially discussing Bitcoin, for example, right, there was a lot of critique because a lot of the people that were advocating for it, so say Simon Dixon, obviously he bought into Bitcoin at $3 per Bitcoin, right, and has become generationally wealthy off of it. And to this very day, he advocates for Bitcoin at this point, not because he needs additional dollars. I mean, he's, like I said, got kind of generational wealth that he's been able to unlock because of his belief in his education around, and then I think genuinely his advocacy for. He's doing that as a, he's basically doing that pro bono at this point, because the incremental value of Bitcoin, while it going up, is certainly of benefit to him because he's got a lot of money invested in it. I think it's unreasonable to describe that as his motivations. And I want to make sure that the individuals listening in are also recognizing that you're not going to benefit via some kind of monetary incentives or whatnot for pushing these. And you're providing Primal, you're providing Domus, and some of these other visualization engines on something because you believe in it, right?
Absolutely.
I think it's really important to differentiate that this isn't like you pumping and dumping some kind of meme coin or any of that other kind of nonsense. And it's unfortunate that I have to say it, but in the era of the Hawktua girl and Robinhood and all this other kind of stuff, there's unfortunately been so many schemes that I think people have been, especially the younger audience that Nostr is probably somewhat appealing to, that they've unfortunately seen in the markets around them. So I'm glad that we were able to specifically address that. And as a result, people can just take your opinions here as, free from any kind of incentives or monetization that you're looking to achieve. I do see Farrell has his hand up. We're going to keep kind of questions for the back half. So, Farrell, I will ask if it's something that's super pressing. Okay, perfect. So we'll keep that towards the end. And so look, we've talked through Nostr, which again, folks, this is kind of a network. It's a protocol. You can think of it as the cake. The visualization, so the way that you see that cake, right? It's like the icing. And that's why both Primal and, is it Domus or Domus?
Domus, yeah. Right. So it's like a playoff of the word Nostradamus.
Perfect. Okay. So Domus and Primal there are, they're the icing, right? They are they're what you see when you're looking through the glass refrigerated case. But at the end of the day, it's the cake itself that is really constructing the majority of the value here. And I think it's really important that we emphasize that, because what that means, and I'd love to go back to you, Primal, on this and kind of tee you up, because what that means is that the visualization, the icing, it has no real ability to meddle with, to destroy, to tweak, or prospectively to prioritize the content of the cake, right? All these engines could ever do that are the icing is effectively present the cake to you in a different way. But the thing that makes that really beautiful, in my assumption, is that it removes any and all of the power of those visualization engines. Because the moment somebody says, I don't like how you're tweaking or playing around with or prioritizing certain content on these networks, the user can just say, kick rocks, I'm going to go to something entirely different and look at the same ingredients, right, the cake, through this different lens, which puts the the value of the posters, the commentators, et cetera, it completely rips that out of the hands of the quote unquote publishers, which is, of course, what X and Facebook and Google and YouTube claim to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, very well said. And I keep spamming the same example, but I just think it's such a great visual. The email, like you said, did Gmail and Outlook have a different look to them? You know, some people like Gmail better, some people like Outlook, some people like ProtonMail. They just have a different view of the underlying protocol, and Nostr is the same way. And just to really quick touch on what you talked about earlier about the full disclosures and everything. I think that's super important, you know, because like you mentioned, Simon, you know, having a lot of Bitcoin, oh, are we just talking about Bitcoin because we want to pump our bags? Like, that is always going to be something that comes up in these conversations, is like, is this self-motivated? Because there are so many self-motivated people out there who are trying to just shill something that is going to, you know, make them rich or benefit them in some way. And I would say all of these protocol level solutions that we talk about, I can really just think of two big ones, which is Bitcoin and Nostr. It's a beautiful thing because it is fully open to everyone. And sure, like, certain people will benefit from it, you know, monetarily if it goes up, but everyone within the system all benefits together. So it really gets this community energy around it where we, you know, and I can only say this personally, but every single Bitcoiner I know and Nostr fan I know, and I've met a lot of them in person as well, these people have a lot of passion about this stuff because they really believe it's going to help people and solve their problems. They're very unselfish people. And of course, everyone will always have to, you know, listen to these voices and make your own decisions on whether you believe that or not. But I would say once you go in and try this thing, you will understand why people are get so riled up about it, because it fixes so many problems people have. And we're just really stoked about it. We think it's so, so powerful and going to really change the world in a positive way. So I can't remember what your final part of that question was, but just wanted to clarify that. I think it's a really good point.
No, and I just want to make sure, because there's so many individuals, and this is one of those topics, much like Bitcoin and other crypto, where, and I'll use Ethereum as an example, because Bitcoin, I understand conceptually the technology and the value prop, right? Limited supply, primarily constructing essentially the same proof of value or storage of value that gold, or in many ways, I would suggest kind of maybe guns or bullets, in the event that those were limited in production quantity, which they're of course not. But when it comes to something like Ethereum or Solana, I listen to the value props there and smart contracts and all these other kind of things, and it largely flies over my head when I start trying to understand the real world application. And so I want to make sure that we're really, for the listeners that might be like myself, where they want free speech, they want the future of social media to be something that is distributed and decentralized, right? But aren't necessarily, you know, in the cryptographic space themselves. And therefore don't have understandings of nodes, relays, et cetera. I just want to make sure that we're both dumbing things down for those that are super simplistic like I am, while also keeping it interesting for those that are a little bit more informed, as you certainly are on this platform and concept, or this, yeah, I shouldn't use the term platform, right? So let's think some more about Nostr and where you think it is going. So right now they have Primal and Domus. Can you speak to maybe the current pros and then cons of those two networks as two options that people could prospectively start to use? And then maybe talk a little bit about, you know, the as a result of the downsides and the limitations, where you think this might go in the future to make it more user-friendly or more viable as an off-ramp for some of the traditional social media that everybody's familiar with.
For sure. Yeah. And I should clarify, Primal and Domus are far from the only two clients. So they're just two very popular ones. So I'm on Android myself. I'm not even on iPhone. So I haven't even used Domus before. I've heard so many people that use iPhone love that one. So that's sort of where I get that info. My backup, my second one that I use, is called Amethyst. Amethyst. If there are any other Android people out there. But yeah, I mean, they're tons of different clients already out there. So it's like a huge ecosystem to test out and play around with. And like you said, you know, the looking to the future when the user experience improves, I should clarify that anyone going to this should expect it to be a little bit clunky and a little bit buggy because these are brand new. They're still a little rough around the edges. Sometimes it crashes, sometimes, you know, it doesn't load properly and just stuff like that. But the developers are super active on Nostr as well. So you can even usually tag in these client developers on the network itself and like send in bug reports and stuff, because they're all like really taking that feedback seriously because it's a really scrappy startup environment. So definitely going to continue to improve over time. And the monetization models are so interesting for like, because that's another question people will ask, like, how do these companies make money? How do these clients make money doing this? Right now, it's mostly directly through what's called Zaps. And I haven't really defined that terminology yet, but essentially, all the main clients are Bitcoin integrated. That's so ubiquitous at this point that all clients will have that forever. It's so integral to what Nostr is, where there's a little lightning bolt button right next to the like button. So if you want to send them a little bit of Bitcoin for their post, for because you appreciate their content, you just tap that and boop, zap, it just zaps them some Bitcoin. So it's a super cool feature, completely changes how we look at social media, because you'd be amazed at how much people are actually throwing Bitcoin around for content they like. Now, it's in Satoshis, it's a very, very small amount. It's not like people are throwing whole Bitcoins around or anything, but it's still extremely cool to play with. And this is a great way to start getting the feel for how Bitcoin works and what makes it so revolutionary, how there's no third parties involved at all. You're just shooting sats over to people who make content that you like. So, and I didn't mention this earlier, but I didn't even talk about the algorithm side. So the fact that, you know, these centralized platforms we have now, like Instagram and Twitter, the algorithm plays such a huge role on what content you see. So there's no algorithms on Nostr right now. And currently certain clients are developing, you know, the options for you to pick your own algorithm. So it's not like it's going to be no algorithm forever. There's going to be like marketplaces of algorithms where you can choose what you want to see. It's going to just be putting the user first. And like I said, the free market is really pushing the incentives in the correct direction where they want to have the best experience for users. So Primal just recently in their update, you know, I haven't even played with this myself yet, but they have different types of feeds that you can load where you can have like trending last 24 hours. They can be like a Twitter variant where it's like, you know, for you and you can choose what you want. There can be like a fully chronological. I still just stick with fully chronological because I just like being able to see all the content from the people I follow in the order that they post it. And I can just go through that and there's no blocking of content. Like nothing is hidden from you like it is on Twitter now, which is, you know, it's really refreshing. And you, as a user that's creating content as well, it's crazy how much this really frees your mind and your voice to be able to speak on whatever you want and share whatever you want. Because there are so many situations on places like Twitter where you are penalized for not towing the line and not posting about trending topics and just things that, you know, are going to get a lot of likes and retweets. You can post whatever you want and it doesn't punish you in any way. So one example is if you're just listening to a song that you like, you can just post your song and just post a link to the song on Nostr. Now, if I post a link to a SoundCloud track I'm listening to on X, it's going to get much less engagement, obviously, than some trending topic. It might even get, you know, hardly anything. And because Twitter's algorithm uses that information, it punishes your future posts and says, people aren't engaging with Ben's posts, so we're going to de-boost him in the algorithm. Where on Nostr, there isn't any of that. There's no algorithm there that punishes you. So you can post literally whatever you want, and it's completely free. There's no punishment. People will actually see it because they follow you. So again, sort of rambling, but really cool stuff all around. I hope we answered your question.
No, you definitely did. And look, I think that that's one of the big values here, right? Is this ability to get away from the absurdity of control. I mean, X essentially has a monopoly on quote unquote free speech. because they're the only ones that perhaps remotely come close to it. I mean, obviously, Facebook, YouTube, Google, they're all much more locked down. X gives you some capacity of free speech, but now they're playing this, you know, free speech doesn't equal free reach nonsense, where you can say something, but it goes into the ether and is seen by nobody except a whole bunch of bots, right? And so this is what Nostr to me, folks. This is why when I heard about this, I really found it of interest and appealing, because, you know, you're removing the real power from the centralized parties. You're offering endless abilities for individuals to build skin upon skin upon skin that goes over top of that framework, and therefore doesn't allow for this absurd manipulation. So I'd be curious, you know, what would prevent a group from building the, let's call it the most popular of frameworks over top of Nostr, and then having, once they get a critical mass and support, kind of the same way that maybe Uber and Lyft have made it essentially impossible for somebody to get into the marketplace, just because while they might not be the only cab companies, they're the only ones that are able to operate at such scale. Could something like that theoretically happen in the future on Nostr, where one group garners so much value through some kind of you know, superficial layering that they put on top of Nostr, that they make the other ones, you know, while available, they make them kind of trivial, the same way that there are alternatives to X that are out there, but there just aren't a lot of people on them, right? Could something like that happen, where even if it's, you know, not the only game in town, it becomes the only one that's useful or practical to utilize?
You just opened the door to a point that I can't believe I haven't mentioned yet, because this is one of the coolest things about Nostr, is the social graph component. So when you create an account on Nostr, which you can do through any of the clients, like I said, it creates a public key and a private key for you, which is basically, like, you could think of it as a password to log in and have control over the account, whereas the public key is the one that you share around to your friends so they can find you and they can follow you. So when you log into any of these clients, like I mentioned, you're going to see a very similar feed, because you're logging in with that same key and your followers are stuck with you no matter which client you're on. So I bounce around between Amethyst and Primal all the time, just kind of, you know, I like to have the variety and I like each of them for different things. Your social graph, all of your followers and following are with you everywhere. So like you just mentioned how, oh, there are alternative to X, but nobody uses them. There's nobody on there. So, you know, it's kind of pointless. Well, Nostr, it's so easy to move to a different client because all of your followers and followers are there. Everything that's important comes with you. And so it's incredibly flexible. And the barrier to just jumping to a different client saying, screw you, like, I don't like the direction you're going as a company, it takes just an app download and you're on a different one. It's so easy. So that social graph component is absolutely massive, because you also think of this in, you know, what could happen in the future here. And as I mentioned, most of the clients right now in the early days are basically Twitter clones. They're very similar looking to Twitter, but, you know, slightly different flavor. And just recently, like within the last few weeks, the first real Instagram clone came out, and people are really excited about that, because that's like a new niche, and we're going to start, you know, really pushing people on Instagram to check it out. But there's going to be infinite types of clients. Like, eventually there will be a LinkedIn clone, and then there will be a TikTok clone that comes out, and a Reddit clone, and a Pinterest clone. And so all of these apps are going to come out that offer the same experience as people have on these centralized silo versions, but they're going to be built on Nostr, where people's entire social graph stays with them. So if you can sort of visualize that, you can think of it this way. I mean, I haven't actually downloaded this Instagram client yet, but I'm really excited to try it out. Essentially, just to visualize this for you, I can be scrolling on Amethyst, which is like my Twitter clone client, and then I can want to like do like an Instagram scrolling and just see a bunch of pictures. I can switch over to Olas, which is that Instagram type client, and scroll through it, and I'll see all of the pictures of the people I'm following, and it just won't show any of the text like the Twitter clone one will. So this changes absolutely everything. And then in the future, when you have like a LinkedIn type client, you'll see, you know, certain type of posts that people say, I want this to only be on the LinkedIn type client. And, you know, TikTok type client in the future will only have like short videos that people post. And so you'll get a different experience on all of these clients, but your followers and your following will always be there. And so this is where it starts getting really exciting. And that's kind of more elaboration on a point I made earlier, where the future I foresee is that Twitter and X will have to become a client for Nostr. Because why would anyone want to use a centralized version where they can have their speech taken away? And, you know, you don't know what's even going on half the time with the algorithm. And you have a whole different set of followers on Instagram. And anytime you bounce between these, you have to make a stupid post and say, hey, everyone, go follow me on this other platform and this other platform. And you'll get like a few people to do. But you know, it's just like a huge hassle to build an audience on all these different platforms that are all centralized as big tech companies. When on Nostr, if you build your following on Nostr, those followers stick with you through the entire client ecosystem that provides all the same experiences and will eventually become even better than the platforms we have today, because they operate in a free market, which actually forces these companies to make a better product for people. Does that make sense, how exciting this is? Like, it just blows my mind.
No, it does. And I think back to this idea of the, I don't know if it's helpful for others, but this idea of the cake idea, right? The ingredients that make up that cake, the thing that I love about this is that it's not just the posting and the content. It's also, like you said, it's the followers. It's all of, I don't know if there's going to be messaging that you can do between users as you can on X and all this other kind of stuff, where you can kind of delineate between public and private messaging and all that. But, you know, theoretically, the ability for somebody to say, like, let's take X, for example, and let's say X was built on this network, for me to be able to say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of the way that Elon is prioritizing the Krasensteins and other users over things that I actually want to see. I'm taking my participation in this network elsewhere, right, in this town square, as he refers to it. If I could do that tomorrow and go to a different portal and have all of the followers, anybody that I've ever connected with, and all of the things that I've previously written shared over to that other network, it would be a no-brainer to avoid the censorship and all the other manipulation of content, right? But right now, that's impossible. Everything that I have is essentially locked in this little box that is X, and I can copy my content, I suppose. I can repaste it and repost it elsewhere, but I can't take all of the users and the connections that I've made. You know, I could share that other network that I could theoretically, let's say I go to Rumble, I can post to that, but I still have to build it essentially from scratch. And what you're saying is, no, the ingredients, all your content, all your followers, all the people you're following, all of those other things could merely go from you know, one visualization engine directly into another. It's all there, just with a different prioritization, a different appearance, a different aesthetic, if you will.
Beautifully said. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's really rather remarkable. So let's speak through, you know, these are some of the advantages. You know, we talked a little bit, but perhaps give us some additional setbacks, right? I assume that a lot of this is still clunky. It's still probably a little bit difficult to initially engage with, to utilize. Let's think of it probably like driving a manual transmission vehicle from the 50s or 60s, right? Things are not going to be as elegant or sophisticated or polished. But what are some of the other challenges? Because I assume as a result of those aforementioned setbacks, you're also going to have far smaller audiences that you can reach. You know, can you speak to maybe some of those limitations? And then I'd also be curious, after doing so, about the individuals that have made that transition. I know Jack Dorsey's a big proponent of this technology, but maybe start us off with some of the challenges and the audience that's currently on them, and then we can go to some of the faces that have already made that move.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Jack Dorsey. I know that last time I was in a space and I brought up Jack, a bunch of people, you know, got rubbed the wrong way because they thought he was, you know, he censored too much when he was a CEO of Twitter or whatever. But, you know, I believe personally that he is looking for the right solution for the job, and he felt that Noster does that the best out of all of them. So he completely bailed on Blue Sky. He'd been working on that for many years and said, you know what, I think Noster actually brings free speech better than this, so I'm going to go focus on this instead. So it's cool to have him over there because he obviously has a lot of insight on social media, and he is the most bullish person you will ever find, just constantly talking about how Noster is actually fixing this, that Noster is actually going to be the solution we need to create true free speech that can't be stopped. So very exciting to have his support. There's a lot of other cool people on there. There's Edward Snowden is on there. We got Stella Assange, Julian Assange's wife. A lot of like Matt Taibbi is over there. RFK made an account briefly. He hasn't been super active, but you know, a lot of people are finding their way over there with big names. So we don't even have, you know, I wouldn't say there's a single like real A tier big name who is on there and consistently talks about why it's awesome as much as Jack Dorsey, but there will be more coming. I think that's going to happen in 2025, and that's really going to start the tidal wave of people just flooding over there. So it's fun to be here in the early days, and it's still the very early days for people to do join. There are definitely benefits to that too, because there's just less people on there, so folks are, you know, more skittish to find people to follow. So, you know, I don't think there's any shame in saying I want to have like followers. I want to have a lot of followers because, you know, this sounds really cool, and I want to, you know, have a voice and get my reach and get Bitcoin zaps. By the way, that's a cool reason to have a following. But yeah, I can't remember where I was going with that. The downsides you mentioned. Yeah. So it's funny. You actually also talked about the messaging side, like the direct messaging. That's actually a perfect example of another thing that doesn't work very well is the direct messaging aspect in Primal and Amethyst, in my experience, the two that I use the most, neither of them work very well for direct messages. So, I mean, there's a good example of something that just doesn't work very well yet. I'm sure it will get better in the future. And there will be clients that just are purely direct messaging. I think there's one called OX Chat, if I'm not mistaken, which is just a messaging client. I have not tried it myself, so I can't speak on it, but I mean, that's just another type of client that we'll see that runs on Noster that you can use and just be able to talk to your people that way. So super cool. But yeah, man, downsides other than that, I think just the general, you know, brand new things of just how it, you know, most of the clients you use will be slight. They're not going to be as silky smooth as Twitter and Instagram, because that is one of the upsides you get from like a super centralized platform that has been around for over a decade, is that it gets really, really ironed out and smooth and silky smooth. So that is a benefit of Twitter and Instagram, I would say, is that the UX is pretty well. However, I wouldn't say it's perfect. I still run into bugs on both of these things. So they're not ideal. They're not 100%. They have their own little issues here and there. But the differences with the clients is when you have an issue on one, you can just jump to another one and it might not have that issue. You know, like if I'm on Primal and it's just, you know, freezing up on the notification screen, I'll just switch over to Amethyst and then it'll work, you know, stuff like that. It's, you can move around a little bit and then, you know, a few weeks later, Primal has an update and it's fixed and it's good to go. So you're really on the ground floor of something where in real time, you're watching these things being built. And yes, it's a little bit clunky in the early days, but I think in the future it's going to be even better. And I'm actually quite confident it's going to be even better experience than Twitter and Instagram, because there's a competition between all these clients to become the best and get the most users. So it's tough to think of more downsides, to be honest. I mean, there's a reason I'm so obsessed with this, is because I can't think of that many downsides. I really think it's going to change everything.
Well, and the thing that it would then lead me to wonder is the cake that we keep talking about, the ingredients and those relays, is there a way, theoretically, so let's say people start moving over to Noster in huge droves, the financial and also the implications on the brainwashing machine, the Mockingbird media, whatever you want to call it, obviously they would be massively threatened by this, right? So is there a way that some entity or force could take out those nodes, those relays, and undermine the entire experiment that is Noster, or is it kind of impervious to that kind of manipulation?
Great question. And this is a similar question that Bitcoin has been getting for years and years and years. Everyone's saying like, oh, China's going to ban it, so it must be over because there's so much hash power over there. There are so many miners in China. Well, it turns out they banned it there, and then all those miners just moved somewhere else. They just moved somewhere else and opened up somewhere else. And essentially, the way to think of it is, in terms of the relays and the clients, it's a giant whack-a-mole game. And it's extremely difficult. And if any entity tries to go after these pieces, then it's going to be the Streisand effect going on, where people start realizing, oh, there must be something to this if, you know, the people are trying to take it down. And we've seen that happen over and over in Bitcoin. The more that these, the what we call the fiat regime's forces try to come after it and stop it, the more buzz it gets, the more attention it gets. And because public trust is so low in like every institution, it just ends up shooting themselves in the face by just trying to do that. So now I should mention, however, there is actually a great example of when there was like a status quo force really lashing out and taking a big move against one of the clients. This was the Apple Store came after Domus, that client I mentioned earlier in the very early days. They came after Domus, and you may have seen Jack Dorsey talking about this because he was posting about it on Twitter. This was, you know, a little over a year ago, I think. But essentially, Apple said you can't allow Zaps in your app, where people can send Bitcoin to each other, because then it makes it like, you know, it breaks some rule in our conditions or whatever for, you know, you being in our app store. So there's a huge fight over this. And, you know, like I said, Jack Dorsey posted about it and said, hey, Apple, this is not, you know, a money transmission device or whatever it was. And, you know, thousands of people saw that and flooded in and said, what's this thing? This is interesting. If, you know, if Apple hates it, I want to check it out. So we have this dynamic where, you know, it's big enough to this point and decentralized enough to where any outside forces that try to attack it will just generate more buzz and cause more people to start their own relays and more people to create their own clients, to the point where it's just going to be impossible to win. It's just a runaway freight train at this point, in my opinion.
Now, out of curiosity, why is it that they were able to argue that it's not a transmission of some kind of finances or money, given the Zaps thing, which is basically, you know, very, very, very small amounts? And for anybody that wasn't here earlier, on Noster, some of these clients are basically, since it's linked to a Bitcoin address, you can basically send rather trivial, but, you know, not completely insignificant amounts of cryptocurrency via Bitcoin to posters that you like. So instead of just clicking a like button, you can also say basically like, I want to donate 5 cents worth of Bitcoin or whatever it is, right? Some trivial amount. Why were they able to argue that that's not a transmission of money? I'm just curious about that little comment you made.
I honestly can't remember what the exact wording was. It might have not been that exactly. It was some rule that they said that they broke, and they said that if you don't take this away, if you don't take this function away, we're removing you from the App Store. So, but it's actually a good opportunity for me to tell you the funny ending here. And for the fuller story, I actually did, I had the founder of Domus on my podcast. His name is Will Kasser. And so if anyone wants to hear like the more detailed version from him when he was like in the middle of this, trying to figure out what to do, recommend that as well. I have a link in my bio. But essentially the short version is they were eventually forced to say, okay, like, I guess we have to make this change. But just a couple of weeks later, some developers created this workaround solution where, you know, there's just a different button than a lightning button in Domus now. It's like a little like hand emoji, and you can just hit that. And now they're technically doesn't send them Bitcoin, but when you press that hand emoji, it goes to this other third party app called Zapple Pay, which sends them Bitcoin just outside of Domus. So basically it's a fuck you to Apple. It says, we're going to figure out a way to do it no matter what you say, so we don't care. And so now people on Domus can still zap people. It's just a little bit weird. It's like a workaround way. But it's a funny example of how, I mean, this is such a Bitcoiner thing. They just don't let you, you know, they'll just find a way. They're going to find a way, and they're going to use that cypherpunk mentality to get around these stupid rules. And it's beautiful to watch.
Well, and it's beautiful to hear about this. And just out of curiosity, because one of the individuals who's in the space, I believe, right now listening, they had shared a really interesting post on how Nostr works that I just put up into the Nest. Looks like a little visualization chart. And maybe for anybody that wasn't here when, and I'm going to invite him up if he wants to come up and speak. But perhaps since people have that visualization in front of them, just for anybody that wasn't here at the earlier part of the conversation when you were describing the how this works piece, would you mind kind of just using that visualization that people can look at, kind of walking through that? And then while you're doing so, I'm also going to invite anybody that wants to come up and ask a question on this subject or just to provide their thoughts on the subject matter itself. Feel free to request a mic. Happy to bring you guys up for a Q&A with Primal here. But, you know, if you could use that visualization since we now have it in front of us, it's a pretty interesting one to look at. Might be a neat thing to do.
I have never seen that visual, and it's beautiful. I just pulled it up. It's fantastic. It lays out each piece perfectly. I highly recommend people pull that up and look at it. I am kind of just looking at it right now, and if John Starks is out there, the guy that pinned it up there, feel free to pull him up so he can kind of walk through. It looks like he's probably aware of it better. But yeah, I mean, that's talks about the public key, the private key, sort of shows you how they're different. It shows you like how there's no central authority, and it really shows you the visual of how those relays work that I talked about. Because I mentioned earlier how right now, you know, there's a single entity controlling all of the server where people's content goes through, and they can do whatever they want with it. But over on that right side of that picture that you posted, it shows there's just multiple relays in the middle, and you can choose whichever relays you want. So it just makes it practically impossible to censor in that way. So great share, my friend. That's awesome.
Well, and that's what's so neat about the power of this tool. And you know, it just makes me wonder the power of our voices, these spaces, et cetera, if it was not for the absurdity of the censorship and the pushing of the certain narratives that, you know, we certainly talk about in a lot of my other spaces. But, you know, anybody that had these delusions that that Elon Musk was genuinely interested in the free speech platform, we've, of course, seen those things shattered over the last maybe 2 weeks or so. And for anybody paying attention, I think we've been seeing them tipping their hat over the last year or so. It's obviously just gotten out of control as of recent with the H-1B. But nonetheless, even in spite of that censorship, we're still able to have this conversation, to share these truths, to bring attention to an alternative. I'm just curious, Primal, do you, and then we'll go to Common Sensible here for a question or some thoughts. But Primal, do you think that Nostr has the ability to change the world in a similar fashion to, I suppose, what people like Simon Dixon would claim that Bitcoin is able to do so?
It's super funny. I should have mentioned this way earlier, but you can just call me Ben. the reason I have that name there, I just have primal.net/Ben because that just goes straight to my profile on Primal for people to find. Like that's the show level I am at right now, where like even my name is just like, go to Nostr, just go to, like, forget X, just go to Nostr. But yeah, in terms of just world changing potential here, I think I mentioned this earlier, but if you would have told me just a couple of years ago that I would find something that I'd be as excited about Bitcoin, I'd think you're crazy, because Bitcoin is such a world changing technology and how it completely eliminates the need for, you know, centralized money, you know, because that's what we're under right now, where the government mandated currency is forced on people and you get put in a cage if you don't use their monopoly money that they can print for themselves, but you can't. You have to work for it. And even when you work for it, you have to pay taxes on everything. And it's just like a huge scheme to just scrape people dry of the value that they create in the world. And that's evil. Nostr is just, it's equally as important in my opinion, which I can't believe I'm saying this, but it really is, because it does the same thing as Bitcoin. It decentralizes communication, which I would say money and communication, you can't think of any two more important things. And I know that, you know, Jack was posting about this a couple of years ago when he first found it, and a lot of us Bitcoiners were thinking the same thing of, like, how did we not think of this before? Like, of course we should decentralize communication in a similar way. But, you know, this really, really smart developer just, you know, popped this out and put it out into the world, and it works beautifully. And now we're all just in awe of this thing that works so well, and it fixes another huge problem in the world right now. So it gives total free speech to everybody. Anyone that has a phone, just like Bitcoin, all you need is a phone and internet. And by the way, you don't have to put in any personal information. You don't have to put any email or phone number for, you know, creating an account. Now, you may have to for like creating the Lightning wallet. That is one thing that's different. There's different stupid laws around that, and hopefully that will change someday. But essentially, anyone has access to this. So, and it has all the benefits we talked about earlier of just the free speech, complete like ability to say whatever you want. You'll never be blocked. You'll never be banned. And you just have complete control over your content, which is revolutionary.
Well, speaking of revolutionary, I see Curtis Stone down there. I'm going to see if he wants to come up and see if he's been made aware of this, because he's very much an independent thinker, has been living off the grid, hence his user tag. And I think he's been ahead of the curve in a lot of kind of his perspectives on the world. So I'd be very curious for his take. But let's go to Common Sense. We'll see if he has either a question, commentary, et cetera, on this subject.
Yeah. Thanks, Ian. Always love your spaces. I love what you're doing all the time. So I just came in here. I popped in. I was kind of listening to it. Nelster, it looks like it's something that's decentralized, to kind of taking away this kind of control that Facebook and other things have on communication. Is that correct, Primal?
Hold on. I was actually just I just changed my name so I stopped confusing people. Call me Primal. I'll go by Ben from here on now.
Okay.
Sorry, right, can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. No, so it looks like it's kind of like decentralized. It helps just communication in the way where like it's not going through a central outlet, like where it's being monitored through, I assume, like fact checkers or just these algorithms from Facebook and stuff. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just that. So I'm not sure if you heard like the early part of this conversation, but essentially there is a free market of these different clients which can create these different experiences for how they serve you content. And some client could come out in the future and say, hey, we have fact checkers that can tell you that you're wrong about something. They wouldn't do very well, though, because there's already a bunch that don't have that and you have a way better experience. So, I mean, that's the beauty of a free market. They could go ahead and try and have their stupid community notes clone that no one wants. But, you know, anyone could try whatever they want.
I see what you're saying. So it's this decentralized market in a sense where it's like there's these clients, and more than likely the clients that will thrive will be the ones that don't try to control speech. Just
exactly.
That's what the majority of people will go to. I love that. I like that idea a lot. I think that's something that's definitely been lost since the internet became, well, mainstream media and all sorts of other stuff have come into existence, right? So there's been lots of control on everything. And I think traditionally speaking, even if you go prior to World War II, right, people used to have their own clubs and meet in pubs, and used to have their own like private pubs and groups and, you know, lodges or whatever else it is, where debate and people were able to have conversations about anything and everything all the time, even if you vehemently disagreed with them, right? And it was like, I like that, because that's how you're going to get these real deep conversations about the real social issues that are plaguing everybody today. I love this. I think this is great. I'd love to hear more about it. I really hope it takes off.
100%. And here's the thing, is that no matter, you know, how much these different big tech overlords have told us, oh, we promise we're actually going to be free speech now, like Elon did when he bought Twitter, and now we see Mark Zuckerberg doing it, you know, for however many times he's, you know, tried to save his own face and his PR. Like, users of those platforms are always going to have in the back of their head, like, oh, I probably shouldn't talk about this thing because I might lose everything or I will get censored in some way. You know, it's hard to really understand that you have that monkey on your back until you move to Nostr and that monkey is gone. You say whatever the fuck you want. And there is no downside to it other than, you know, your followers might say, I don't want to follow you anymore and leave. But, you know, you don't get punished on the network itself. You know, people who want to follow you can not just follow you and see everything you post, but they'll send you Bitcoin for it. So the, you know, this is something that I've been noticing. I've been posting so many more just like super conspiracy theory type stuff on there that would totally be blocked on here. And not only do people love it, but you're earning Bitcoin for it. People are sending you Bitcoin because they love that you're pushing the envelope. So it's a completely shifted paradigm of how people act there as well. And the way that you feel using it actually changes. You feel like, you know, inspired to push the envelope more and be more yourself because there's no longer any downside. It's beautiful.
Well, and look, that's where this gets all so interesting, right? Because, and I've talked about this in another space, but the idea of political correctness is actually not just to make certain speech taboo or to even criminalize it. It's to make it so taboo that you get socially shamed for sharing it. So that not only do you stop saying those things out loud out of protection of your ego, but eventually once you stop saying them for long enough, you stop thinking them all together. And that's why you get these types of conundrums that we find ourselves in where I might make a certain statement around, and this is a sensitive subject, but you know, I'll often post about some of the criminality of certain groups of people. And that is immediately met with vehement backlash. Right? Oh, you're X, Y, or Z. And I say, no, here's the data. Like, what I am saying is very easily defensible. It should be self-evident and obvious to anybody that is not only looking at data, but also is just looking around them because we see these things playing out. But the political correctness machine and the lies of the media and all these other things have basically, it's no different. Maybe here's one that's less controversial. It's like when you turn on the news and there's a thing about, you know, going to the gym is actually unhealthy for you. Right? Being physically fit is somehow white nationalism and all these other things. And so then you go out and you look at somebody that's terribly out of shape and you say, that person is unhealthy. And somebody with purple hair looks at you and says, no, what are you talking about? Right? It's perfectly reasonable to be 100 pounds overweight. And it's like, no, obviously not. But we've somehow been censored. And what's crazy is the power that that self-censorship has over the minds of the people that ultimately play into those games. So I think what you just said is really powerful. The ability, Ben, to be freewheeling and to say, no, I'm going to speak what I think because that's the power of my tongue, right? And the moment my voice is cut out from under me is the moment that I'm going to stop either making a difference or perhaps even thinking differently. But let's go. I know there's a lot of other hands. Just first and foremost, before we go on to those hands, just Curtis, at a 50,000 foot perspective, are you at all familiar with Nostr? Because if not, I'd maybe love for Ben to give, you know, another maybe 60 second spiel just on it, because I'd love to get you involved in the conversation.
Paige and Curtis. Testing, testing.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey.
Curtis, are you familiar with with Nostr?
Totally. I'm not using it yet, but I've had a number of people that I know for about a year saying to me, you got to get on this thing. And I think, probably that's going to happen sooner than later. I love the concept of it. I mean, when I look at what's going on with X right now, man, I just think we're getting into some pretty uncharted territory, especially with the integration of Grok into this app. Like, this is fucking metadata harvesting everything. And I think we're going to be in some weird Black Mirror episode soon where we've got AI replicants basically stealing our identity and siloing you off in some weird, you know, hall of mirrors where you think you're engaged in real conversations with people and you're just talking to a bunch of fucking AI. And then meanwhile, they're harvesting your persona and representing it on X to everybody else to make you toe the line to the narrative. I seriously think that's going to happen. And so I think something like Nostr has got to be, it's got to be like the way to go. At the same time, it's like, yeah, is the lemon worth the squeeze? Right now we're using Spaces. It's working great. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's a question for the guys that understand Nostr and are using it there. Is there something like Spaces in there? Can it handle it? Because, you know, the one advantage you have to a centralized platform like X is that you've got a massive amount of resources going in for bandwidth and servers and such. But how does that work in a decentralized way? You know, where you just how are they going to address bandwidth if they do something like Spaces? And I don't know, do they do something like Spaces there?
That's such a good question. I can answer that actually, because if you look at the pinned tweet on my profile, it's a conversation with this guy named Derek Ross, and he actually built something called Nostra Nests, which is exactly that. It's the Nostra equivalent of Nests, or I'm sorry, of Spaces. And that's a really good question about the bandwidth and like also video, like these things that take up a lot of space and have a lot of gigs. How is that going to work? Now, this is where there is some centralizing aspects that come in, because, you know, Nostr is mainly made for like text-based stuff. The NOSTR, I should have mentioned this earlier, it stands for notes and other stuff transmitted by relays. So it's mainly supposed to be like text-based. And whenever you bring in these pictures and videos, there is a centralization aspect and the spaces, like I mentioned. But here's the thing. So Derek Ross has Nostra Nest. He built this himself and says, you people can come here and use it. But he is completely transparent. Like, this runs out of this. I think he just has like a server in his office or his house or something where he runs that as like a centralized spot. So people know it's centralized. The difference between that and something like here on Twitter, where it's only one centralized server, is that, again, anyone else can create their own competitor to that. So someone could, there's another one called Corny Chat. I haven't actually tried it. So you have Nostra Nests and Corny Chat. These are two different Twitter space alternatives that run on Nostra. And yes, they both are more centralized in some sense. I assume that both, you know, creators just have like their own server that runs it, but you can pick whichever one you want. And it's an open market where you get to choose. So not every single part of it is decentralized. Sometimes it's, you know, centralization mixed in, but it's an open market of different options of centralized options, if that makes sense.
Totally. And now here's another question for you. Where do you think it's at right now in terms of, because, I mean, nobody knows about it. I've mentioned it to some people. Nobody knows about it. How close do you think we are to getting like some mass movement on there? And I guess I would say, let's say somebody like Ian Malcolm, you know, maybe he's got, what has he got today as far as followers on X? He's got like 50,000 followers on X here. How quick do you think it would be for somebody like Ian to get over there and amass that type of following on Nostra as it is today?
Well, that's a great question. I can speak from my own experience, and that is only me, of course, but I have, 17.9 thousand followers here on Twitter. That took, I think, like 15 years. I think I made an account on like 2010. And on Nostra, I have I'm almost there. It's actually funny I bring this up because I'm at like 17,000 exactly on Nostra versus 17.9 thousand here. So literally have almost caught up. And I probably in the next few weeks, I will surpass my following that I have on Twitter just because, you know, I can post whatever the fuck I want and people love it. Like, and I post like crazy. I have like 7,000 posts or something already. But I don't want to promise that for everybody. I've been going extremely hard and I'm, you know, posting like crazy on it and obsessed with this like all day, every day. That's what I'm doing. But there's, you know, you have the complete potential to grow as much as you provide value to people. I think that's really what it is that there's no longer these, you know, certain people definitely get boosted by the algorithm, you know, like there are certain accounts out there that you see where, you know, they make a post and the algorithm just gives them a tsunami ride to a bazillion followers and likes and retweets. And you don't have that there on Nostra yet. So, you miss that potential upside, but you also miss the downside. And if you're talking about really important things, speaking truth to power and, you know, getting controversial, like I like to do, removing that downside risk has helped me massively. You know what I mean? So it's,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so well,
that's kind of what I saw with X for the first little while. You know, anybody who's in like the JQ conversations and stuff, it's been that way to some degree, but it, it almost looks like it's a big honeypot operation, because they're just going to silo us up, I think. And so I just think it's a matter of time until, like, if people want to be online, you're going to have to find something like Nostr. I'm just wonder if something like X, with especially with the integration of Grok now, is like the level of censorship can now be so subversive that we won't even know we're being censored, and that they could just bury Nostr. So it's good that we're talking about it here in spaces. And yeah, man, I gotta get on there. It sounds like a great spot, and I love the idea of it. It's what's needed, because this gravy train here on X is not going to last much longer, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point they're going to completely, you know, shadow ban the word Nostr. maybe they already started. I'm not sure. Like,
exactly.
But so this is another reason why I'm super fanatical about this now, just spending the last few weeks really just like absolutely spamming it everywhere I can under all of these people talking about how, you know, Elon lied about free speech, and, you know, they're just so angry about X, and they're, you know, they're suing him and whatever. I'm just like, no, just go to Nostr. you don't have to keep fighting this battle that you will never win. Just opt out and pick the better solution. It's right there. While we still, you know, can talk about it here, you know, at some point it's going to be completely probably shadow banned, and, you know, you're not even allowed to post it. It's, we've got to make the most of it while we can, and just try to bring more people over there. And I fully believe that even if that did happen here on Twitter, I just believe in, you know, human word of mouth. People will eventually just keep bringing people over, and it will grow. But why not kick this thing off now? Like, this is an important fucking time to be speaking about important topics in the world. There's a lot of crazy shit going on out there. So I want people to be somewhere where they can say whatever they want at all times and not get punished for it. I think that's a really powerful tool for the fight that we're fighting in the world. And I just want to make sure as many people out there that know about it as possible.
Well, I absolutely love that. And Curtis, I'm really glad that this is something that you're familiar with. And it's one of the things that was mentioned by Ben that I think is so powerful about this isn't only the decentralization of the control of the content, meaning you could port it from visualization to visualization, right? You could go from app to app to app, but the content is forever on this. I don't know if it's the is the right term, Ben, the blockchain? Is that how I think about that?
No. So that's an important point to make sure that this is, it's not built on top of Bitcoin or built on crypto or blockchain or anything. Bitcoin is just integrated as a way to, for people to pay each other. That's like added on top. Nostr is still the bottom layer. There's no blockchain involved.
Okay, cool. So this, but this network, right, at the end of the day, that it is essentially permanent, and all that you're changing by your apps is the, it's almost like wearing glasses, right? You're just looking through different glasses at the same content. And I suppose you could have different glasses that do different things, like what you're saying, with some that might be more like Instagram versus X, right? But Curtis, this idea of the people you follow, the people that are following you, et cetera, those are permanent, right? That it doesn't matter what visualization you use. You can go from thing to thing, and you still have the same group or collective of people. And I find that really fascinating, because right now, Facebook can nuke you, YouTube can nuke
exactly.
you, X can nuke you, and all of your everything is
well,
gone.
It seems like the natural evolution of this technology at, like, post-Bitcoin, right? Because Bitcoin is really, I mean, in my opinion, I don't know, some people might debate this with me, and they're certainly welcome to, but to me, Bitcoin is the first truly free market money that's ever been created. And it seems to me like Nostr wouldn't have existed without the concept of Bitcoin, that now we have something that is the true free market social media. Is that there, and in my understanding of it, is that there is no algorithm, right? That there is no, because the problem, the limiting factor on all of these platforms is that there is an algorithm, and that algorithm incentivizes your behavior one way or another. And that's how you get these accounts that just figure out the algorithm. Like, think of a guy like Alex Flynn or something like that, Alex Finn or whatever the fuck his name was. He just figured out the algorithm, and it's just like, boom, he crushed it, you know? Or like Tim Pool just figured out the algorithm on YouTube and then just crushed it. But it's like the algorithm fucking sucks, because the algorithm is is created by the people that create the platform, that they want to get you going in one direction. And the thing that's really scary about algorithms, as more and more people get online around the world and orientate their lives more around online behavior, is the algorithm is the tide that's moving all ships. And the little waves here and there are irrelevant. The algorithm is guiding the tide. And that's crazy, because it's this massive, this meta way of controlling everything without having to control anything, because you incentivize the behavior. And that's where it's really nefarious and subversive. And that's where, you know, even X is doing this now, and like how Elon, you know, tweets out, well, now it's going to be positive content. It's like, it's been negative content forever. That's what clickbait is. It's like hate shit. That's how it's always gone. And now you're saying it's positive. And what does that even mean anyways? And so it's crazy. Whereas I just think, as like a, you know, as somebody who likes to think about big ideas and just principles, I go, how about no algorithm? How about just, I want to see the information that I want to see. I don't want anybody throttling anything. If I follow these people, I want to see their stuff. And in part, Telegram kind of got that. Like, I'm on Telegram. I use it. I follow people on Telegram. I have a Telegram channel. Not nearly as big of a presence on there as X. And it's different to grow. Telegram's very different. But it's almost like Telegram had to exist to get to Nostr too. At least from my understanding of Nostr, which is nowhere near what Ben knows, and I'm not even using it yet, but it seems like it's a natural evolution of where these real hardcore free market platforms will go. And it's refreshing to hear you guys talk about it, and that, you know, maybe some of you guys are going to move over there, and maybe I should too. I mean, right now I have a hard time. I've been a content creator for 10 years, and I don't dedicate much of my life to it anymore, but I have a difficult time managing multiple platforms. So I kind of usually just go with one. There was a time when it was more part of my career and I had other people helping me, and I was on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and all these places at once, but I just can't handle that anymore. And so I kind of feel like I got to go all or none on something. And so, yeah, maybe Nostr's it.
Bro, I'm telling you, a few years from now, what you just talked about right there, like how, you know, I don't have time to manage all these different platforms, we're going to look back at this and laugh, because it's so dumb that we have to have all these different centralized silos that have totally different, you know, followers, totally different algorithms, different rules and everything, different types of content, all that stuff. And, you know, that's ridiculous. Like, we should just be able to have a singular entity, like online identity, where, you know, you can just switch between the clients instead, and your followers are stuck with you everywhere, and the content just flows so much more naturally. You really, and I'm telling this to people, I was just talking to a friend a few days ago. She is like paying a marketing team to manage her Instagram and her Twitter and her TikTok and her YouTube. Like, she has so many different socials, she doesn't have time for it all. And I'm telling her, like, you know, if you just focus on Nostr, you won't have to in the future. You know, we don't have all those perfect alternatives yet, but they're going to be there. If you start building your Nostr now, building your following on there now, and, you know, do similar to what I'm doing, which is just using these centralized platforms to just pump Nostr everywhere you can, try to, you know, pull your followers from there over to Nostr, then you're going to have your official home base, where there is no longer any friction between these different clients. So, you know, you can just go from the future YouTube client to the Twitter client to the whatever, Reddit client, TikTok client, and you're going to have all the followers everywhere. And it's going to be so much more cohesive, and it's just going to make a lot more sense.
Ben, do you have any idea the metrics? Like, how many people are using Nostr right now? And then I guess how many people are using X?
Oh man, that's a great question. I don't know, actually. I should know that, but I don't actually remember the numbers. I do think that if you pull up Primal and like go to the Explore page, I believe it's like just under 2 million keys have been created, but that doesn't necessarily mean users, because like anyone can just create a million key pairs. So right. I think that the, if I am not mistaken, the like daily active users is somewhere in the tens of thousands. But yeah, I don't quote me on that. There's a good website called Nostr.band. If you go to Nostr.band, they have really good statistics on there. That'd probably have the most accurate ones.
So it's still in its, infant stage, which is good. I mean, I've been around long enough in the online world and stuff that I've seen a lot of these platforms come and go. And there is something to be said about being an early adopter. You know, people that were early adopters in any of the main platforms that still exist today are legacy accounts, right? So there's probably something to be said about being an early adopter in there, and that you're going to get ahead on it, right? And you're going to understand it, you're going to have that network, people are going to be familiar with your posts, and there's something. Yeah, like maybe this is the time, because we can kind of see where, you know, ever since Elon went out to Jerusalem and touched the wall and put on the tiny hat, we've seen where this is going. And so, you know, maybe this is the time. So this has been great, guys, listening to this. Thanks.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And I can say, like, I am definitely one of the earlier ones. I've been on there for almost 2 years now, so pretty darn early, and I'm definitely seeing benefits from that. Like I said, I have quite a few followers for Nostr standards, and we're still insanely early. So like if people get in there now, you're gonna get a lot of perks from, you know, being early to this brand new technology that I truly believe is gonna just be the black hole that absorbs every single social media within the next, you know, several years. Who knows how quick it could go? But that's the thing about the social media network phenomenon, is that if it starts popping off, it starts popping off. And we still haven't seen that true explosion moment. We've had a few large blips happen since its history. One that comes to mind was last summer 2024, right when Brazil was saying we're going to ban X. There was a massive influx of Brazilians coming to Nostr, and it was super fun to watch, because you're just seeing all these, you know, people speaking Portuguese in like the introductions feed where new people go to like introduce themselves. And since I'm on the Amethyst client, which has auto translation, so I could actually read what they were all saying. So it was really cool to see, you know, all these people who had a real censorship event just hit them in the face. They needed a solution. And enough of their influencers in the Brazilian world got Nostr in front of these people. So there's a shitload of Brazilians on Nostr now, so that's cool.
And that's due to the fact that they banned, in Brazil, they banned X for some time, right? Until they paid a fine or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even remember the whole story, because I wasn't on X during that. I was just fully focused on Nostr still, as I still am now. So I don't know the exact details, but all I know is that people saw that this was happening, and I believe they fully blocked it for a period. And people were like, you know what? I don't even care if they fix it. This is stupid. Like, if this can be completely taken away from me, why not try this other thing out that, you know, certain people like, and I remember looking through TikTok at the time too. There were a few really big Brazilian TikTok accounts talking about Nostr, and that's how a bunch of them funneled over to figure this thing out. But yeah, people are just realizing, like, why am I even still playing this game when it could just be completely rug pulled? I would rather just use a better solution, and they did. So it was super cool.
And Ben, really quickly, and then I want to go. I see John, who's got his hand up, who put together that wonderful post with the infographic. I'm just curious, for somebody like Curtis or myself that hasn't used Nostr but is leaving this conversation thinking, okay, you know, is it going to take 5, 15, 60 minutes, 7 hours? Like, what's the time commitment that somebody like Curtis or myself, with zero prior knowledge of what they're doing, that it would require for us just to get to the point where we have, I guess, either Domus or Primal set up and we're looking at something, and Curtis types in the word, "This is my first post." What is realistically the commitment and time that's required for that? And does he need to give phone numbers or email addresses, or can he basically do that with complete anonymity?
So yeah, good question. So it's super easy, it's super fast. So there's a couple different components to keep in mind, a few different tracks you could take. If you just want to create an account and post something and that's it, you could do it in, you know, 12 minutes through any of the main clients. You can look up Domus, you can look up Primal. And if you want to also set up a Lightning wallet so you can send and receive Bitcoin, that is the one where I briefly mentioned this earlier. But for Primal, I know that you do have to put in like your email for that, I believe. It's been a while since I've done it, but you have to put a little bit of personal information. If you don't want to do that, you can go find a different Lightning wallet for Bitcoin. I don't know the market well enough to know like which ones to direct you to that don't have the certain KYC that you don't want to do. But if you have a different Lightning wallet, you can just plug that into your Nostr profile, and then you can receive Bitcoin that way as well. But yeah, if you want to just completely skip that part, which I don't recommend because zapping is awesome, it's super cool. Then yeah, it's like 10, 12 minutes. You can just have an account up and create your first post, and you're good to go. And I do recommend just having a few different clients download so you can have that experience of bouncing between them. So if you are on Android like me, it would be the two that I would recommend would be Primal and Amethyst. If you're on iPhone, Primal and Domus. And there are other ones too, like Iris is another one that's out. There's one called like Open Vibe, I think. If you go to, actually, I think it's nostrapps.com, I believe is, let me double check that. But there is like this database of all the different ones if you want to see the current ecosystem. Yep, just looked it up. If you go to nostrapps.com, there is a ton of different apps out there that you can use and different clients. Yakihana, that's another one I forgot to mention. And yeah, but you can just go check that out. And that's like all the apps that are available. And it has a little description for them so you can explore for yourself. I only threw a couple out today because I kind of have a few that I feel comfortable with. And I just basically bounce between those. But go do your own exploring by all means. That's part of the fun.
Well, and I'll tell you a thing that I absolutely love about this, and what a cool space to get to learn about this and to talk with individuals who in real time, I just put it up in the nest, Friendly Southerner just set up his account in real time as we're having this conversation.
So, let's go!
So Ben, and Friendly Southerner, you're going to have to send Ben a, what is it called? Is it called a follow or a friend? What's the right term here?
Yeah, Ben? Follow. Follow's perfect.
A follow. All right, you guys are going to have to follow each other, and Ben with his 17,000 followers is going to have to be the first follower on Friendly Southerner's account there.
Let me throw this out there as well before we go any further. So for those who are in the audience that create an account and create their first post, make sure you have an introductions post. This is part of the culture over on Nostr, is that when you join, you make a post introducing yourself, who you are, telling people what you're into, maybe a couple of pictures, and use hashtag introductions. And a lot of people follow that hashtag just to go say like, welcome, glad you're here, and like send you your first Bitcoin zaps just so you can kind of get the feel for receiving Bitcoin for your post. So that's definitely something to do. And let me know if you do so I can go help boost it up and show you some love.
Oh, I love that. And with that, let's go to, I know we got some other hands that are up here. John, you want to jump in?
Hi guys, what's up? Is my sound okay?
Yeah, you're good.
You sound great.
Okay. Just to jump in, for example, on the Brazilian matter, just remember that for X to be back in Brazil, Elon Musk had to comply with the laws. So a lot of people had huge fines for being against the government. The government here don't like we talk about anything against the government. So we have this thing like the January 6th on the United States, we have January 8th, invasion of Congress here. So a lot of people got jailed and fined. And it was better, I don't know what's worse, if Brazil was, X was banned from Brazil from the IP, that nobody could access X without a VPN, or when Elon complied and everybody got fined and Elon got basically give up the information of the people. But there are the things that I want to say that I think Ben didn't talk about Noster, is that everything on Noster is open source. So there are a lot of clients. For example, there's Primal, there's Amethyst, and everything is open source on GitHub. So if you don't like the way the client is going, you can just fork and make your own. So you can make, for example, a JQ client and make your own relay. That's your own server. And everyone can be on the same page and build their own algorithm. It's like a community, but everyone owns the data. You don't need to rely on any third party for this. And the same thing is for the audio. We have Cornichette and Noster Nest. Both are open source. So if we want to build from fork, right? Fork means you pick the project where it is and you build on top of it. So you don't need to build from zero. But if you don't like the way it's going, because, for example, the space is like Noster Nest and Cornichette is kind of centralized, but you can make your own. You can fork and make a competition, an open market competition for this. And that's it. I think the best way is start, sing in, and I think we have to talk more about this because we don't have a marketing. There is no...
We are the marketing team.
Yeah, we are the marketing team. It's just that.
I'm so glad you came up to speak, man, because like I am a total idiot on the whole development side. And yeah, I didn't even mention it. It's all open source. Like, that's huge. That's completely opens the gates for all competition, even more for developers. So this is like a total developer playground.
Those are some really great comments there, John. Wonderfully stated. I know that we've also got Eamon that's up here. Eamon, do you have a question or comment for Ben?
Yeah, to ask this question. I looked at the infographic. I believe that one of your people put up in the comments or whatever you would want to call them. And it appears that this works off of connecting to various relays. Since this is kind of pushed as a privacy intensive or whatever service, wouldn't the use of set relays just be attack points that somebody could go after, or am I misunderstanding something?
Sorry, I was a little distracted there responding to someone asking in the Nest who created Noster. I apologize. Could you quickly just summarize that one more time?
Okay, so I looked at the infographic in the comment section or whatever here on X. It shows that I would be connecting to one of a set of relays potentially. Wouldn't the set relays just be attack points if somebody wanted to figure out something or to expose a large amount of people? They would just attack that at that point because it's so important in the distribution of the connections or whatever on the network, or am I missing something here?
Great question. I mean, that's like the first thing people should be asking is like, where is the point of failure here? And so when you create an account in Primal, for example, it automatically connects you to like 15 or so relays, I think. And these are all, you know, different relays scattered around the world. And, you know, could every one of those governments like go after all those relays at once? It's possible, but the fact that there's just multiple of them makes it already really robust compared to, you know, centralized platforms like X, for example. Like anyone could, you know, that's a huge honeypot in a single centralized server. Someone goes and blows it up and it's gone. But, you know, so not only is it already in its current form really robust, you can go connect to as many relays as you want to. So you have just more places that your content goes. And something I mentioned much earlier, maybe I'm not sure if you heard it or not, but even if every single one of those relays goes down, you can spin up your own relay. You can just get your own relay in your room and just connect to that one. And then they would literally have to go to your house and take it away from you to stop it. And yeah, it's just, it's so infeasible. Like, it's a giant whack-a-mole game. And the example I used earlier is, you know, China trying to, you know, get rid of the Bitcoin miners in their country. They've tried this like, I think 15 different times. China has made it illegal to mine Bitcoin in their country. And all the miners say, haha, and they just go to the country next door and they just mine over there. And it just becomes like a no-win situation when they try to go after this unwinnable whack-a-mole game. It's just so decentralized at this point. And even in these extremely early days of Noster, there's so many relays out there that it's just, it's not something that I worry about. They'd have to go after every single one. And the more that they go after, the more people would create in its place. And it's just, it's going to continue to just get stronger as a system.
Well, but they wouldn't need to go after most of the relays or anything. They would just have to see, they've already compromised Tor this way by getting enough compromised nodes or whatever that they use on that and that system that they can kind of figure out enough of where you go from bounce to bounce. It is very possible. And with this being a small company, I'm not sure what do you have any type of ability to affect that in any way? Is there any way, like, say, for example, have you figured out how to get around, you know, let's say that maybe two or three interested entities put up several hundred nodes or whatever it's servers that how would you figure that out? How would you get around it? How would, you know, someone's anonymous nature still be maintained in a situation like that?
I mean, if there was this danger was presenting itself, and I'm connected to like 15 relays or something right now. If this danger presented itself, I would go and just connect to a shitload of relays. So if I was on like 80 different relays, I mean, how would any entity go down and shut down 80, go into these people's houses or these companies' houses and shut down every single one of those relays? Even if they did, I would just connect to more other ones. Like there's several hundred relays on there and growing every day. Like I there might even be thousands. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the stats. I know, John, you have a little bit more technical prowess. I don't know if maybe you could jump in on this one with more technical side stuff on how that would be avoided. I'm not sure. Maybe John isn't just listening now.
Oh, yeah. I don't get the question clearly. I think if he's saying that, for example, a state can put a lot of servers and we connect to these relays that they're tracking us, or what would they do with this relays? Because relays are only they are only storing the text, or like here on Twitter with text words, the relay is just getting these texts, and you can connect to many relays as you want for your own good, for your for you to not download a lot of data. It's good for you to just connect to 20 to 30 relays at max, because the more you connect to relays, more data bandwidth you have to download, and just that a side effect. But they cannot do anything, because you can, for example, Malcolm here can host a relay and you can connect to his relay and you trust him, and there is nothing that the government can do. Maybe the government can try to track him down and shut his relay down, but you can connect to my relay and it's impossible to shut down.
It just becomes very impractical and practically impossible, like, for all intents and purposes. I mean, if they really did start trying to do some massive operation of hunting down every single Noster user's relay, it would be extremely difficult to do, and I would say impossible.
Oh, there is one thing that we have to say is that just like here, when you connect to Twitter, your IP is exposed, so is also nice to you ever use a VPN, because every relay see your IP. I don't think this is a big problem, but some people, I think privacy is a great concern. And for example, Amethyst, it has a Tor built in the app. So if you want to just connect directly through Tor and then any relay never see your IP, that's an option that we have. But you also can also use just a normal VPN when you connect to Nostr, and I think it's recommended to access anything on the internet today to use a VPN.
Well, and I see it looks like Micro wants to come up. Micro, do you have a question for Ben?
I don't see him in the speaker list. Was he invited? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I just brought him up now. Micro, do you have a question for Ben?
Yeah, it's funny. I've just been looking into Primal. It was recommended to me by another Bitcoiner. But I joined Nostr about 2 years ago, and when it first sort of came out, but it was like a graveyard. And I revisited it about a week ago, and it's really transforming. Most of the people that I follow regarding Bitcoin and other stuff are on there, and it's really, really growing. So I'm definitely going to be jumping over. But I just love the fact the sovereignty of Nostr, and I think not just with the Zaps, where you're getting tips for your content, but as it grows, I think it's going to create a circular economy and bring people into the sovereign currency, and going forward into the future, I think you were just talking about, I had a power cut here for a few seconds, I got booted out, but into the future, the Bitcoin network itself, it's the largest decentralized network in the world, and eventually, hopefully, apps like Nostr will be run on the Bitcoin network, especially as mining becomes less sort of profitable and it's just more the transactional verification. The network itself, I think, will be built upon and these apps will become truly decentralized. So your IP will be hidden naturally by your key and et cetera. So I'm really excited about the evolution of it. As I say, I joined about 2 years ago, but it was like a graveyard. And my attention span doesn't allow that, but I've seen the progress in it, and I'm definitely going to get over there. And the more big accounts that do go over there, normies will follow, and that's I believe is a great way of spreading knowledge about Bitcoin and also living sovereign and living free. So yeah, but I don't know about the Zaps. How does that work, Ben? Is it it's on Lightning? I take it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just you hook up a Lightning address in your profile and you just plug it into the LN box. But and the reason why I usually recommend Primal for people is because if they don't have a Lightning address already, you can create one in there. It's basically just using Strike. Like Strike is one of the biggest Lightning wallets out there, and it's basically just connected in with Primal. So it just makes it a little bit easier. You mentioned the circular economy aspect. That's I'm so glad you brought that up, because I can actually share a personal story of when I made this happen. I am a nomadic traveler myself. I spent several months in Mexico earlier this year, and I stayed in a hostel at one point where a bunch of people there were all long-term, and we were always just owing each other for random little things. Like someone would pay for dinner for everybody. Someone would pay for, our tour in a canyon or something. And we'd always, being little bits of money we have to throw around. Well, I got them all on Primal, and we just basically use it as our house Venmo, where instead of, having to go to the ATM and changing our dollars for pesos or, extracting money through the ATMs and just like being a pain in the ass, we just zapped a bunch of Bitcoin around to each other. And I showed them, here, you can earn Bitcoin yourself by posting on this thing, showed them a few, or just had them like post a few pictures of their travels and get a bunch of zaps from people on Nostr. And then they could use that as money in the house to like trade for things. It was amazing. And so it completely opens up that, circular economy, just with you know, a single app, which is incredible. And that's just so game-changing itself. And you also mentioned how it's changed so much since the 2 years that you had joined. And I'm just about at my two-year anniversary. I think that's sometime this month. So I'm with you. I started back at that time. I'm lucky that I quickly, you know, saw the value in it. So I've just been super dialed in this entire time. It's been a little bit more gradual for me, but I can imagine coming now from then, it's just exploded with, you know, a very diverse group of people that's just full of interesting ideas and really trying to build a better future. And we all made jokes in the early days. It was basically a digital Bitcoin meetup because everyone there was just hardcore cypherpunk, libertarian, fuck the government and fuck the platforms. Like, let's take this thing down. And now it's much more vibrant with lots of artists who want to be paid for their content. They're posting their songs that they're creating or the art that they're making, and they're selling their paintings through Noster, and people just send them Lightning and they send them a painting. And it's creating this whole community that is just completely bypassing these third parties we've always thought were just necessary part of doing business, whether it's social media or it's transacting money. And it's a giant middle finger to that. It's just you don't have to use that stuff anymore. You can do everything person to person the way that I believe it's always meant to be.
Well, really well stated. And Ben, I mean, this has been a fantastic space on a subject that, you know, I knew very little about, and I'm sincerely excited about this. For those that have created a Noster account, how would individuals in this room be able to connect with one another? I see that John just posted something up about sharing a public key. Do you want to walk through that so that anybody that did set up an account while in this space is able to add you and to add, you know, others that are in here?
Yeah, absolutely. So just an overview, when you create your account, you're going to get a public key and a private key. And the public key starts with NPUB, N-P-U-B, and the private key starts with NSEC, N-S-E-C. John just posted his up there. It starts with NPUB, and he noticed he did not share his NSEC because that is your private key. That's like your password to log in and post. So you don't want to share that one around. That's the secret password.
Yeah, I wrote it wrong. I said start with NSEC. Don't do that. Start with NPUB.
he meant NPUB. Yeah. Pretend that NSEC is an NPUB. Yeah, the NPUB is the thing that you share around to people so they can find you. The NSEC is the one that you do not want to share around. You keep that private. And I put that same importance as my Bitcoin private keys. You don't want to share that. But yeah, so you just share around your NPUB. And that's where how people can find you. And the way that you find that is going to be a little bit different on each client. I know that on Primal, you go to, I believe it's settings, keys, and then it shows both your keys right there that you can just copy them. And on Amethyst, you can just copy it from your profile page. It's just kind of written under your name. You'll play around with it. I don't know what it is on Domus because I've never used it. That's an iPhone client, but they're all going to be pretty easy to find because that's a pretty integral part of your profile. And yeah, if people wanted to find me on there, just type in, you know, Ben space W. I should pop up. One of the only Ben W's on there.
Well, that's absolutely awesome. And Ben, this has been fantastic. And I think, you know, for individuals that are familiar with this, hopefully they got a better understanding of some of the reasons for your support. For those brand new to it, hopefully they, you know, took this as a reason to spend the time to look in. I see that Vast just made an account. I'll put him up in the nest as well. And so here alone, I think we've had 2, 3, 4, 5 different individuals that are going to leave this space on Noster that weren't here when we started off. And so if nothing else, I mean, that's obviously a huge win. Folks, this space obviously will be recorded. Anybody that did not get to hear the beginning, certainly feel free, go back and play the start where Ben did walk through, you know, his views on why this is important, the current censorship regime that's in place. And, you know, if you did listen to it, feel free to share it around, not to get clicks or any of those things for my account, but more for attention to this platform or network and the importance to it, right? Because the sooner that we can get people on there, the better. And so, Ben, what I would love to do is set a little reminder for you so that come February, what I would love to do is I'd love if you could do two things, Ben. One is about 2 or 3 weeks from now. Just shoot me a direct message and say, hey, you better have your damn Nostr account. And then let's call it mid to late February. I think we should do a recap on this topic. And in that space, Ben, we can give an update to everybody on things that are taking place on Nostr. And I can also give my thoughts and feedback, as I'll certainly be making an account between now and then. And look, I've been told by many people that I need to start branching out and having more than just X as a central means of communication. So the last thing that I would ask out there, Ben, is on the privacy matter, right? Nostr going forward. I mean, I only use X. I don't have any other channels. I don't even do Telegram. I don't know if it's compromised or not, but people say, join me in this Signal thing. Join me in this Telegram thing. Join me on, you know, build a YouTube, do a Rumble, whatever. If I were to go out and I see there's one more person wanting to come up, so I'll bring them up too. But Ben, if, you know, if I download these things, get the app or the browser or whatever and set up my account, am I basically as anonymous on there as I would be setting up essentially an anonymous Bitcoin account that can kind of just exist in the ether, doesn't have to have any other ties to anything else, and I can kind of play the same anonymous game that I've tried to play so far on this app?
Oh, absolutely, dude. There's so many anonymous maximalists out there on Nostr who swear by not, you know, having any of their personal data out there. Like I personally choose to have my name out there. That's kind of the choice I took, but there's tons of people who are like fully in on and really believe in just not doxing themselves. And like I said, to just create an account on Nostr, you don't need any of that stuff. So 100%, you can do that and use all the clients. They're not going to, you know, I can't imagine any clients would ever, you know, require that stuff in the future because there's so many that don't now. Like, you know, the same examples I mentioned earlier, like if one came out and said, oh, like we have fact checkers, like everyone would say, like, screw you, I don't want to use your clients. Like, I think that if any of them did that, you know, it wouldn't go over well. So yeah, you're going to be good to go.
Awesome. And I know that Grassroots came up here. Grass, did you have a question for Ben before we kind of turn it over to him for final words?
Yes, I did have one question just regarding like fee structure. It's not like fee based per like messaging, or is it like a monthly fee, those kinds of things? I'm sorry if I missed that earlier. I came in a little late.
No, you're totally good. So there's no fees or anything. It's totally free to use, completely free. Now, the certain clients are starting to come out with their premium version. I think Domus has that, and Primal also has that, where you get extra features if you do the paid plan. I think that's we're going to start seeing different ways that these clients start to you know, try to monetize and become like a legitimate business. There's plenty of others that are just super basic and don't have any of that, and maybe never will. That's just built by some nerdy developer who wants to have like a really basic client out there. But no, it's completely free to use all of them right now. I don't think there's any purely paid clients that I know of. I think that some of them have a paid version if you want to upgrade, but only a few of them even have that. They're pretty much all free.
That's incredible. The only thing I would caution people is if they feel like they're going to say something that may step into territory to get them in trouble, not to put their cross-reference their Nostr user account to here. Is that correct?
I mean, it's really up to you how private you want to be. Like, I am just as toxic and loud and just yelling about everything on there as I am here. So I don't care. I just do them both. But if you want to have a different identity over there, you can, because a lot of people may think like, wow, here's this thing where I can post anything I want. Like, no one can stop me. And that may inspire them to create an anonymous account that doesn't have their name attached and just go ham on Nostr. And that's totally fine as well. And then you just wouldn't connect it to your ex. They're totally different things. So there's no like automatic connection. You'd have to manually build that connection to route people over if you wanted to.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
And I see we've got another hand here from Hidden. And folks, feel free to request a mic if you want to come up and ask a question to Ben here before we close things out. But Mr. Hidden American, you got a question here for Ben? Perhaps not. Hidden, can you hear us? You got to come off mute.
That mute button's a doozy. I see he's up here. Oh, there it is.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay, cool. So, hey, I quick comment. Number one, Noster is a great place to be. When it first, you know, when it was first created, it was pretty rough, but it's come a long way. There's a great community. And the number one thing I think people in this room would appreciate is you don't have to worry about being censored. And it's a growing community. It's a great space. I also want to just mention, Ben, I appreciate your podcast, especially the one about psoriasis. It kind of helped me help one of my family members get a lot better. So I appreciate that. No, that was awesome. That was awesome. And you have a great podcast in general, but definitely want to encourage the people in this room and this kind of community. I think a lot of you guys would appreciate it. And over time, the censorship is only going to get worse. So it's nice to at least have one outlet that you know is uncensorable. So that's it. Thanks, guys.
Super awesome to hear that, man. I'm really glad that, was it your family member that got healed up? Super stoked that that episode helped him out. That's cool.
Yeah. Still a work in progress, but it was really important on like trying to get on the right road to recovery. So yeah, I thought it was great. Thanks.
Well, gotta love that, and I know that we've got a hand up here from Mr. Rugstop. Do you have a question for Ben Rug?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask: does it cater for? I know you've got a wallet there, which I like. But does it cater for NFTs as well?
No, it's a bunch of Bitcoiners right now.
All right.
I don't think, I'm sure that in the future there could be, you know, developers that, you know, make a client that has like other crypto in it. But as of now, like the foundation of Noster is built by a bunch of Bitcoiners. So all the options out there right now are going to be purely Bitcoin.
That's fair enough. All right. Thank you very much. But love the app anyway. I think I'm definitely going to be definitely downloading it and using it because I do like the concept of it. And I think it's got a bright future. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Yeah, man. Yeah, happy to talk.
Yeah. And so Ben, presuming unless there's any other questions, I'd love to turn things over to you and maybe give a set of final remarks here on kind of Noster, your view on it and the future of social media, and maybe encapsulate some of the things that we shared here for anybody that wasn't here for the entirety of the space before we wrap up.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm just looking through the nest right now, just seeing all the people sharing their new profiles. It's super exciting to see that. This is what it's all about. It's just a completely grassroots, bootstrapped network of sovereign individuals that care about being free from censorship, not having to bow down to any big tech overlord, just being able to say whatever they want, earn Bitcoin for their posts. And this is the way that I believe social media and communication was also always supposed to be online. You know, it just works so much better. And for the people out there that are still getting set up or, you know, looking for like what to do after you create an account, I mentioned this earlier, but just to I really highlight this for folks that are new to make sure you have a Lightning wallet set up from your profile so you can earn Bitcoin for your posts. That's like the coolest part about it is you're actually like earning money for your post. Not only are you censorship resistant, but this is like income for you now. It's income in real money, Bitcoin, which can be used anywhere. Like I just have this beautiful, you know, vision now where as I'm posting memes and, you know, conspiracy theory content that I usually get blocked for on X, I can post this on Noster and I make money for it, which I can go, you know, buy things with in the real world. That's really, really powerful. So it's a powerful feeling. And once you're all signed up and all the wallets connected, make a post introducing yourself with the hashtag introductions. That is like the most popular hashtag on there right now. A lot of people follow that to send a bunch of zaps and welcome and follow all the new people coming. So make like a really good introduction post explaining who you are, what you're about, and attach a couple of pictures if you want. Just make it good and detailed so, you know, people know that you're cool. And yeah, man, I highly recommend everyone just continue to spread the word on this, because who knows when Twitter is just going to completely stonewall the word Nostra from anything because they know it's going to destroy them as they deserve. And I'll just keep coming back here to spread the gospel as much as I can until that happens. So keep spreading the word and getting more of your friends on board. And, you know, if they have big audiences, really give them a good talk and tell them that this is something maybe worth sharing with their audiences as well. So we can continue getting this ball rolling and make 2025 an epic year of growth in this network that empowers people so much.